Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Everything they can to keep that out of the public arena. I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but there's always this time of year cases to keep public square. Amen? It was a... What's that? Yeah, even candy canes. And the funny thing about candy canes, a lot of us don't even know the story of candy canes. But notice that candy, I don't know if we have a traditional candy cane on here. This is close enough. But notice that the candy cane makes a J. And the colors are red. The traditional colors are red and white. Red, of course, stands for the blood. And white stands for purity or righteousness. Just the candy cane. Now, can you imagine somebody wanting to get rid of a candy cane? But that tells us that the enemy knows more about the Jesus story than we do. We just think, oh man, this thing, we've been eating this for since I was 2 years old. I hate it. But there's meaning behind the symbols. There was a... Last I was listening, there was a, I hate to even mention this, but there was a satanic church that wanted to do a display, an anti-Christian display. So it just goes to show you that every time this year, there's always the enemy rises up. Just like Herod tried to stop, but he couldn't be stopped. And God, in his infinite wisdom, always is a step, well, actually, many, many steps ahead of the devil. Because every time he wants to go right, God sends you left if you listen. So it's a testimony of how we have to listen to the Spirit of God. If you listen to the story of Mary, and Malik gave us a little bit of what. Imagine Mary coming and announcing that I'm pregnant, and I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And like Malik said, come on now, what do you take me for? So it took the revelation of God to Joseph to understand that this is not an ordinary birth, but I want you to still marry Mary. In those days, if you go back to the Old Testament, if Mary was found to have been with child without being married, she could have been stoned. Did you hear me? So Mary would have died if God had not confirmed that this was from him. And Joseph would have had to be the one to testify against her. So there was a lot going on in their minds to get this plan of God out. So we have to understand that the Christmas story, it's so sweet. It's so, oh, he's in the bay. And then the manger scene, you know, we call it a manger. It was really a trough, an animal trough. Jesus was born in a barn. And they did have animals in those days. We have barns now that we store stuff in. Everybody knows what animals do in the barn. Yeah, everything. So it wasn't a smell, didn't smell good. It wasn't a clean place. Did you hear what he said? He said, that's why they brought frankincense. But of course, everybody knows that the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh represent his ministry. The gold, you only give gold to kings. And of course, they needed gold because they had to go to Egypt. Frankincense is the the offering made by the priests, which represented the prayers of the saints. So Jesus would be the mediator between the prayers and the saints. And then the myrrh was an embalming fluid or embalming substance representing his death. So his whole ministry was laid out in the gifts of the wise men. Now, we all hit, tradition says there are only three wise men, but that's actually not true. There were three gifts, three types of gifts that actually came from more than just three people. But the reality is, Christmas is offensive to the ones that don't believe. The Bible says Jesus is a stumbling block, or he's a joy. He's a stumbling block to those that don't believe, but he's a joy to those who do believe. Now, I know Christmas has become a gift-giving thing, and again, I don't have a problem with that, but remember what I said at the beginning. Christmas is a season of salvation. Notice the announcement that the angels made. For I give you good news of great joy, that unto you this day in the city of David was born a Savior. Everybody say Savior. Savior. What does that imply? Saviors imply what? That somebody needs to be saved from something. If you go back, excuse me, I've been a little congested the last few days. If you go back to the book of Judges, the Bible calls the judges, in some versions, especially the old King James, calls them saviors. The book of Judges is a precursor of how God sends redeemers to protect his people. And he had to send saviors almost every generation because they had turned away from God and his message. So this is a season of the Savior. Now, this has gone on for 2,000 years, over 2,000 years now, because Jesus. But salvation is not just for adults. It's for children. One of the great probably regrets of my heart is that I took so many years to get saved. I got saved. You know, I'd say, well, what did you get in through to by the time you were 19? Do we have to go there? Just ask your question. What did you get into between 1 and 19? And that just kind of defines what happens. So salvation is not for just the old, but it's for the young. Young people, a lot of times you make the mistake and say, oh, this church stuff doesn't mean anything to me. When I get older, I'll get serious about Jesus. But it's best to get serious about Jesus now because you will avoid many of the problems of your later years because you know Jesus. All the adults should say, amen. Amen. Because we all, after we got saved, we look back and say, man, if I'd have just listened, if I'd have just paid attention, if I'd have just did what my mother and my father had told me to do, I wouldn't be in this fix that I'm in. So young people, and I'm talking 12 and under, 14 and under, now is a good time to give your heart to Jesus. I don't know, how many young people, raise your hand if you know Jesus. Let me see who knows Jesus as a young person. All right. Mom says, I'm young still. All right. So it looks like all of them do know Jesus. So when you say you know Jesus, that doesn't mean you just come to church. That doesn't just mean you go to a play. That doesn't mean you're just in the play. That means you become a part of his story. And his story, which is another way for history, is that you become a light everywhere you go. What does it mean to be a light, people? That means if that spotlight and the spotlights are on me, people are watching. Everybody say, people are watching me. When you become a believer, people are watching you. That means what you do has to represent. We always talk about we got to represent, got to represent, got to represent. You've got to represent God in what you do, what you say, how you act, and even the way you interact with people. That's just the beginning. We are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Light is easy. We all understand light, but what is salt? We don't understand salt because we have refrigeration. We have refrigerators, unless you live in a third world country. Then you know what salt's for. Salt is for preservation. What's preservation mean? Keeping things fresh. You're the salt of the world to keep things fresh. You know, I remember that was a slang saying back in the day. Ooh, that was fresh. That's only for those old folk. You're still fresh? Okay. But fresh means it's good, it's usable, it has value, it's useful. Amen? We're supposed to help the world become useful. That's why we can't allow our salt to lose its flavor. Now, I was listening to somebody preach about the salt message, and they said salt really never loses its saltiness unless you mix it with something. And what do we have to be careful that we don't mix salt with us being salt? Don't get mixed up in the world. Don't get mixed up in the things that try to draw you away. Let me tell you something about, how many want a new car one day? How many want a nice house one day? How many want a lot of money one day? All those things are okay in their place. But young people, let me tell you something. Clothes, Jordans, iPhones, watches, or Apple watches, whatever they are. None of that stuff lasts for very long. I've had two iPhones, and the first one doesn't work anymore because they don't last forever. But people push people out of the way just to get the first. I want to be first, but don't let that stuff cloud you. Don't let that mix your salt. And that's all you think of is, I need the best, the newest, the freshest. Look, Jordan's been around since he was a kid. And they're a lot more expensive today than they were then. They were only $100 in his day. Now, what are they, $200 something crazy? I said, I would never pay $200 for no tennis shoes. Yeah, that's all they are, is tennis shoes. I could buy dress shoes. I don't even pay that much for dress shoes, let alone tennis shoes. And I see Marquise's new tennis shoes that he's got to get a new pair already. Can't afford $250 on that foot. Yeah, little Marquise. No, but he learned to keep his shoes now. He was like little Marquise in the old days. But what I'm saying is, don't let the cloudy things of life cloud the salt and the light that you are as people of God. That's the message of Christmas, really, what it's all about. Yes, I love new things. I love clothes. I love money. No, let me back up. I don't love money. We need money. Everybody say, we need money. You know, I did this test at the Bread of Life, and many of them didn't want to raise their hand and say they needed money. I said, come on, y'all. Don't try to be religious on me. We all need money. We live in a world that you have to have money. There is no getting around that. They don't take horses and cows for groceries anymore. You've got to have cash. Okay? But God said that if you need something, that he would do what? Meet all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So if money is a need, guess what he will do? He will provide it. If you put your trust in him. And that's what we have to learn to do. Trust God with our lives. Trust him with our children. Trust him with our jobs. I remember, what was it? 2000 and, what was that? About 5 years ago, I got laid off from the job that I had around Christmas time. And everybody was saying, what are you going to do? What are you going to? That's so terrible that they're letting you go. I said, listen, I'm not worried about that. I serve a God that makes a way. He's made a way before I had this job. He made a way. And so he'll always, I lived the song we sang. He'll always come through. But you got to know him like that. Yes, I have money problems. I have problems where I can't, I'm self-employed now. And the reason, the self-employment means that you don't get paid regularly. You get paid when people find it in their hearts to pay their bills. That's really what happens. And if I have to wait for them to find it in their heart to pay their bills, guess what? My bills don't get paid all the time. But I have to trust God. I said, God, I'm not looking. I want them to pay, but I'm looking to you because you can make a way beyond what they have to pay. And so I have learned when my clients don't pay, God pays. And he pays, as Annis likes to say, he pays well. So I don't worry. Even though I can get 2 months, 3 months behind sometimes, you know, they start sending the foreclosure notices out. There was a time that used to just scare me to death. I was like, oh, Lord, my family, I'm going to be out on the street. My kids, my van ain't big enough to live in. I mean, you know, I would go through all that. But then he would remind me, who are you trusting? Your pay or me? And what does the scripture say? I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I stand on that promise every time my bills get low. Lord, you said, I'm feeling a little bit forsaken here. I'm feeling a little bit scared here, but you promised that it wouldn't happen. And every time he's come through. I don't have time to tell you all the times he came through, but he has come through every time. So remember Christmas, Jesus is a baby in the manger, but he becomes a man. And he doesn't just become a man, he is the God-man. Beyond just human beings. Thomas asked him, Jesus, show us the Father. And we'll be glad to know that. And he says, man, have I been with you so long and you don't know me? He says, he who sees me has seen the Father. And people say, Jesus never said he was God. He just said it right there. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Me and the Father are one. You can't be one with God and not be God. So remember who we serve. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God of the unthinkable. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. That's the God we serve. Amen? Amen. So Merry Christmas, everybody. We don't do a Christmas service because we're only limited to Sundays and Saturdays, but we just want to say, and we won't, by the way, won't have Wednesday service for the next 2 weeks, so you'll be off of that. Tell you that too, brother. Tell you not to turn the heat on. But remember why we do what we do. So church can be so regular, as Annis likes to say. I'm just regular. But don't make your relationship with God regular. That can be infused daily if you allow him to infuse it. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.